Anyway, Panorama, this is one of the oldest, it's I think 1100 years old. Well, no, it can't be 1100 years old, that's before Catholicism. It was probably about 900 years, 800 years old, huge, big monastery. And there, I was just trying to see which particular denomination they are. Philanthropic in English is...
Franciscan.
Huh?
Franciscan.
Very, very nice, very open. We had two long conversations, like two-hour-long conversations. But ultimately, when it came to this concept, is God, and I asked them straight, is God a person or not? And he just said, no. He was thinking, because then he said, what is he? Well, he didn't say it was some kind of energy, but no. And although ironically, very close to our temple in Nirajadam in about 10 kilometers away from Nirajadam is a little village called Pushak. And there's a 800 year church, not a big church, it's a little church. And the most amazing thing there is it's the only place I've spoken to some religionists and very scholars, and they have deities, which is not unusual for Catholic churches, because they have Mary and Jesus. But this is different. They have Mary and Jesus in the middle, and all around they have deities of saints. And the tradition of this village is that these deities were dressed daily for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, until the communists showed up, they were dressed, and the whole village was famous because all the ladies, all they did was embroider clothes to dress the deities. And there's I don't know how many saints all around. And that now they're dressed occasionally, but they're wooden deities. Very unusual. But still, they said ultimately, no. So, yeah, on the bottom line, ultimately, were the mind bodies, because you need a philosophy for everything that you do. That we also heard of yesterday. You have to be able to rationalize. Activities have to be rationalized with some background philosophy. So why? Why are we doing something? And why is it right? And it's right because of this. And of course, being independent is right because there's no God. Therefore, satyam, patishtam, te, jagada, nishpada, therefore, there's a rationale behind everything. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking now with the representative of the Mayavadis. And the basis of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is often that you're interpreting, and something that we often do, devotees often do, is that you're interpreting Vedic literature from one perspective. And not even taking it, but you're interpreting it. In other words, the Vedic literature seems to say contradictory things. I say we also do that because sometimes we see that Srila Prabhupada says opposing things. He says one thing here and he says another thing somewhere else. And sometimes we take this and someone else takes that. Our Lord Chaitanya's ideas doesn't work like that. You can't just pick and choose. The Vedic literature is all absolute. It's all truth. Whatever is there is truth. So, and it's self-evident truth, and it doesn't need you to interpret it. Interpretation, which is much different than Srila Prabhupada's purport. Purport is an elaboration of truth, whereas interpretation is now, because the truth is so obscure, you have to give your version of the understanding, which may or may not be true. So, and you're interpreting, and you're reinterpreting obvious, self-evident statements to fit a preconceived philosophy, which is also, of course, one of the different types of argument. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was he a Mayavadi because he closely studied scripture or because he was inheriting a tradition? In the case of, for instance, Prakashananda Saraswati's followers, when ultimately push came to shove, it was, I think, the second time that they met, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his great kirtan, they said, actually, this is so our tradition, we just inherited this philosophy, but we didn't really believe very much of it, it didn't really quite make sense. And it doesn't really make practical sense, when it's all one, we've done it before at airports, it's all one. Your $50 bill, my $5 bill, it's all one, or you could just pray. It doesn't work. It's not a practical philosophy. You can't really live by it. You can't eat anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the same thing. When he started eating dirt, he said, what are you doing eating dirt? He says, well, why not? You're also eating dirt when you eat some vegetables. He says, but that's different. That's dirt is transformed into a healthy form. And this is dirt in an unhealthy form. Why did you hide this philosophy from me for such a long time? Why didn't you tell me this earlier? So, but if it's all one, then it doesn't matter. Then why did the Mahavadis need to go around begging and eat and have feasts, which that's where the whole other pastime started? They were being invited to a big feast. So why do they need a feast for? Why don't they just eat their shoes or something else if it's all one? But it's not all one. So you can't do anything with it. And philosophy that you can't put into practice is more or less just useless. It's a waste of time. So philosophy needs to be relevant to life. And that of my bad philosophy is not relevant to life. It becomes relevant to sense enjoyment. Mayavaram satsasam prachanam bodham uchate. So Lord Chaitanya will quote Shastra to explain how, yes, Mayavad philosophy is directly connected with people becoming enjoyers when it's all one. And it doesn't matter. Then right and wrong doesn't matter. And we see that that's what's happening in the world. And whether it's your wife or my wife, it doesn't matter. It's all one. So on. So, the idea is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says you have to reconcile. You have to reconcile these opposing statements. And first of all, the Mukhyavitri takes precedence over Gomavitri. You have the self-evident statements, they become the glasses through which you see the indirect statements. So when it says, apani pana javana grihitaya pasyanti achakshus, that he walks but he doesn't have feet, and he sees but he doesn't have eyes, then in the version of other statements of scripture, where it says that he has kamala lochana, that he has lotus eyes, then you have to see that he sees with his lotus eyes, but he doesn't have eyes like we have. It's obvious. He says, so why are you interpreting it? That therefore it means that he has no eyes, no feet, and eka dvitiya nasti, and it's just a uniform, homogeneous oneness, and there's no second. So this becomes the real argument, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings up different points, and interestingly enough, his statements are, let me see what he says. He questions Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just in order to clarify. Anyway, I think I remember it well enough. He said, are you saying that Brahman, which is the greatest, has no personal attributes? And are you saying that he has no qualities? And that there was no record here by Kaviraj Goswami whether Sarvam Bhattacharya said yes or no. And then Lord Chaitanya starts quoting Vishnu Purana and Krishna Shakti Parabhukta that there are Parashya Shakti Devidhaya Shriyate, that the Absolute Truth has multiple energies. But you're saying everything is one. So therefore, how can there be many energies if everything is actually one? And what do you do with all of these? If I just go back to the reconciliation, and Lord Chaitanya then quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, and he quotes Lord Brahma, who, and this is in his Brahma Vimohana Leela, his realization that comes to Lord Brahma, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What do you do with this? What are you doing with this statement when he says, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of all other forms of Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shatete, even Bhagavan, even the Lord Narayan? What are you doing with that statement? And of course, one argument is pranas are not relevant. That in an argument, then Shruti stands superior to Smriti. And Śrīla Gosvāmī goes to great lengths in the beginning of Tattva Sandarbha to point out that Shruti may take precedence over Smriti, but it's not meant to contradict. It's meant to actually, it elaborates on it. That doesn't mean it becomes irrelevant. It means it's, because there are certain Puranic statements and there are certain Puranas which are for people who are in different modes. Not when you come to Sattvic Puranas, Vishnu Purana, and Padma Purana, and Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can't just dismiss them just because the Shruti is the primary evidence. You have to see, how does it actually all fit together? So what do you do with this? It's the same thing when Srila Prabhupada is making statements about, I don't know, different things. If I want to throw some controversy in the air, the role of women in society, then Prabhupada did this and said this, and Prabhupada also said that. So what do you do with this? And what do you do with this? And how do you put them together into what Srila Prabhupada had actually as a unified vision? Because Prabhupada had a unified vision. If he didn't have a unified vision, then that's called schizophrenia, when someone's going in different directions. So to unify this, so Lord Chaitanya said, are you saying that the Absolute Truth has no energies? Well, because what about all these statements of scripture? And of course, this is what this verse is about. So Antaranga Chitshakti. First, the statement was originally made about the three divisions in which Krishna's potency manifests, which is his spiritual, his external, and his marginal. And now here we also, excuse me, that's this verse. Yeah, this verse. The other one is Lavini Sandini Sambit, and this is what Prabhupada is referring to here, and that was in one of the previous verses. So here are examples of multiple energies. When you say everything is one, what do you do when Eka Bhavasyama, when the one became many? This is the statement of Shruti. So what do you do here? How are you reconciling them? And you keep interpreting and reinterpreting things in order to fit your preconceived conception. But actually, if you want to unify everything, then you're going to have to see something through the proper vision. And what helps you unify things is the Puranic statements, and ultimately that's where Srimad Bhagavatam comes in. So this whole idea of unification of opposing statements is not an easy thing. It requires realization, it requires intelligence, and in the absence of which it requires patience, and of course purification to come to where we can actually resolve obviously contradictory statements. And then here, to do justice to this verse and Srila Prabhupada's statement, then Srila Prabhupada is elaborating that, yes, well, here are these three potencies. And of course, you see, he says, spiritual potency also appears as internal, marginal, external. That is a very interesting thing which Srila Prabhupada refers to and comes back to. And there's this phrase that Prabhupada uses, that ultimately, sentence, ultimately there's only one potency, spiritual potency, but it works in different ways. Sometimes it works materially, and it works spiritually. And so you see in some conversations that Srila Prabhupada will have with Sarva Damodar at that time, Prabhu, later with Sarva Damodar Maharaj, is saying that, well, yes, ultimately everything is spiritual. You say that there's matter and spirit, but ultimately actually matter comes from life. Matter also comes from spirit. It just manifests and acts in different ways because ultimately it comes from Krishna. And Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. He is all transcendence. So it's that transcendence that manifests both the, it's temporary and it has to be. It can't just be, just can't manifest eternal nature, it won't be complete. Om Purnam Adam Purnam. For it to be complete, it has to manifest eternal, permanent features, and it also has to manifest temporary. Otherwise, if it's just eternal, then it's not complete, because there's that duality, eternality and temporality as well. And Srila Prabhupada here, in the purport, in the brief purport, he's pointing out that we must understand that in each of these three phases, the original spiritual potencies of pleasure, eternity, and knowledge remain intact. In which three phases? In internal, marginal, and external. Which means that in the internal, these pleasure potencies, Ladini, Samadini, Sambit, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to earlier, in the internal potency, they are fully manifest. In a marginal potency, they're present, but they're covered. They're covered within the heart of the living entity. We talk about the soul as being Satchitananda, don't we? Because very interestingly, I was just studying not from the point of view of a student, but I was studying the discourse of a Babaji, a very famous Babaji, Radhakund Babaji, who said that he doesn't know of scripture that says that the spirit soul is Satchit Ananda, the conditioned spirit soul is Satchit Ananda. Just to throw that out. And in the external energy, then it's there in a perverted form, reflected form. So Sat Chit Ananda, we exist, we have material pleasure, we have a temporary existence, and we know, and there's material knowledge in its different types of phases. So Srila Prabhupada continues that when these potencies of spiritual pleasure and knowledge, talking about this Ladini and Samvit, are bestowed upon the conditioned souls, which is very interesting that Prabhupada just decides to say this here, the conditioned souls can claim the clutches of the external potency Maya. So how to get out? Prabhupada in Bhaktira Samhita Sindhu then Rupa Goswami says Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma, that when this Shuddha Sattva, when this ray of transcendence, actually what which is the definition of bhava or ecstatic devotional service, transcendental devotional service, but it has to be. It's like a match. You have to light it, or some fuel. You have to, an initial spark has to come on it. So Prabhupada here says, when potencies are both bestowed, when these two potencies, sandhi is also there, existence is there, because unless existence is there, there's nothing else. So everything is also there. But these are prominent, sambit and ladini. When this ladini and sambit potencies are bestowed by the grace of Krishna upon the living entity, upon the serious sadhaka who has sort of struggled through his life and really shown his worth to Krishna, then you cross over the modes of material nature and enter into the realm of transcendence. And when freed, the living entity awakens to Krishna consciousness. Then he comes into the realm of full Krishna consciousness and engages in service with love and affection. And back to just that original introduction, Srila Prabhupada's books, as we were speaking about yesterday, as being integral to our actually having an acceptable religious tradition as means for our own education, but is actually something to take us out of our impersonal nature, and ultimately impersonal means lack of willing to serve, because that's what a Shanta Bhakta is. And you cannot stay a Shanta Bhakta forever. So, Shanta Bhakta, in the spiritual world, they're there. Interestingly enough, Bhanu Maharaj was exchanging, was telling me that there are living entities, that Vedanta Sutra says are living entities or commentaries, Baladeva, in the spiritual world, without any bodies in the spiritual world, not in Brahma Jyoti. So, but this Maya philosophy is something that is antipathetic, or is the source of non-service. And when we become fully devoted to this concept that we are Krishna Das, then we become actually free from the clutches of this impersonalism, which is all-pervasive, which is everywhere. If everything is all-pervasive, my philosophy is all-pervasive, and it's pervading everything and everyone. And that's why ultimately these books are also, in that sense, so important for us to reawaken our service attitude and know why Krishna should be served, the glorification of Krishna, and why we are servants, and why we have to serve Krishna. And when we embrace that full mood of service and are willing to do just that, then we become free from the clutches of this Maya. Just as a last, I've just gone a minute over time. Just this morning I was listening to, as I was the 1977 recording, Srila Prabhupada is in his room. This is in mid-October already, so, or even later October. His godbrother Krishnadas Babaji is there, and who's either giggling or chanting Hare Krishna. He's really wonderful Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava. But Prabhupada is having Saurabh Damodar read to him the Statesman newspaper article about his science and religion seminar that they had there in a conference that they had in Vrindavan. In other words, Babaji Maharaj was chanting Hare Krishna and he was completely pure, but Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing still, while he was doing this, he wanted to hear about service. And every time his godbrother walked in the door, Prabhupada had his disciples show about this is going on in LA, this is happening here, there. In other words, service. All right, you're Brahmins, you're great Vaishnavas, you're liberated, but the service, what's the service to Guru Maharaj? Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Time's over, so I didn't want to take up no. Eat into breakfast time.
One question?
No.
You asked that question.
Yeah.
That one.